it's a name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. And every tongue's going to confess that He is Lord. And I'm glad that I bowed the knee here. What about you? Because you'll either bow it here or you'll bow it one day. I believe Satan himself one day will bow the knee. Every knee's going to bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And I'm thankful that I can go back to a place many years ago where I accepted the Lord Jesus as my Savior. He is the Lord of my life. I'm like the Apostle Paul in Romans 1:16. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." I like this part. "To everyone that believeth, to the Jew also, to the Greek." To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So I appreciate the good word of God. I appreciate the kindness of this church and the love from this church. And we're going to dive right back into the Word of God tonight. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Nehemiah chapter number 2. And last night we saw what happens when God breaks your heart. We looked at Nehemiah chapter number 1, where Nehemiah heard the report that Jerusalem, the city of God, lieth waste. The walls were broken down. The gates were burned with fire. And the people were living in reproach. And when Nehemiah heard this report in verse number 4 of chapter number 1, we found last night that it broke him. It broke him. Bible said he wept and that he mourned and he fasted and that he prayed before the God of heaven. Because when God truly breaks your heart, when He lays a burden on your heart, you cannot ignore what you now see. And God took that burden from chapter number 1 and He began to work in chapter number 2. And as Bible students, we realize that God opened a door before the king and that God provided the resources. May I say tonight that God made a way when there was no way. And I want to say tonight that's just who He is. Amen. And if God lays a burden, if God breaks your heart, God will provide a way. And as we looked at that, He made this long journey to Jerusalem. It was a dangerous journey as you study your Bibles. But He made it there safely. And as He arrives and before He ever says a word, we find that He surveys the damage. And He found that what broke His heart in chapter number 1, He now sees with His eyes in chapter number 2. And we come to our text verse. Let's stand in respect and honor to God's word tonight. Verse number 17. Verse number 17, you're going to find that this is not just a man speaking. This is a man whose heart has been broken by God, and this burden has become a call. Notice what he says in verse number 17. "Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said," notice these two words, "let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." I want to preach tonight on that thought. Let us rise up and build. Let's pray. Father, we love You. And Father, we stand in this place of need one more time. And we realize, Father, we're not here for a performance. Father, we realize our inability tonight. Father, as we decrease, that the Lord Jesus Christ must increase. And we want to lift Jesus high tonight. And Father, we know that Your word is good. We know that You're good. And Father, we realize all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you for these people. We pray that you'll capture our thoughts tonight. And Father, that as your word goes forth, and God, as we continue to plow in your word, as we seek your face for revival, I pray that you'll do a work in each one of our hearts and our lives, and that we'll continually be honest, Father, before you and with ourselves tonight. In Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let us rise up and build. If you're taking notes tonight, write this down. Number one, the reality of the ruin. The reality of the ruin, verse number 17, the Bible said, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Now tonight in our text, you're going to find that Nehemiah does not begin with a plan, but he begins with a problem. Notice there in verse number 17, he says, "Ye see." In other words, this is not hidden. It's not a secret. It's something that is visible to everyone. But we know that just because something is visible, it does not mean it has been honestly addressed. And you cannot rebuild what you refuse to recognize. I'm going to say it one more time tonight. And I'm here to help this church this week, the Lord through us. And I want to be honest with you as we deliver the Word of God. And I want you to be honest with the Lord as we deliver the Word of God. Because he says here, he says, "Ye see the distress that we are in." And what a good leader Nehemiah is. He says, "We are in," not "they are in." So Nehemiah identifies with the condition. He does not stand above the people. He stands among the people. And I believe tonight that's where revival always begins. It's not with pointing fingers, but with a personal responsibility. Nehemiah did not say, "Look what they've done." He said, "The distress that we are in." He included himself. And if we're not careful, it's easy to look around and assign blame. We'll say, "If they would change," or "If things were different." But hear this preacher tonight, revival does not begin when we examine others. It begins when we examine ourselves, when we stop asking what's wrong with them and start asking, "Lord, what's wrong with me?" Because it's easy to identify a problem, but it takes humility to accept responsibility. The Bible said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land." We have a responsibility tonight as God's people to be honest with God and to humble ourselves before God and be honest with Him and stop looking and stop pointing and say, "Lord, what's wrong with me?" We're going to have to get back to the Word of God. We need an appetite in 2026, not just at Valley View Baptist Church, but every church. We need an appetite. We need to empty these vessels of things of the world and allow God to fill us with the Word of God and fill us with His Spirit. And the more that we get into the Word of God, you know what that Word is? It's a mirror. And the more we read the Word of God, it does not weaken my backbone, but thank God it strengthens my backbone, but it tenders my heart to the things of God. And the more that I look into the Word of God, it will let me know if I'm doing right, or it will let me know if there's something in my life that needs to be confessed and taken care of before the Lord. So not what's wrong with them. Start asking, "Lord, what's wrong with me?" We need that humility. And here's the truth. You cannot fix what you refuse to own. And as long as it's their problem, problem, nothing changes. But when it comes, becomes our condition, something begins to shift. And that's what God is looking for. He's not looking for perfection, but He's looking for honesty tonight. It's easy. I've been a Baptist 9 months before I was ever born, and I just know how Baptists work. And it's easy for us to put a smile on our face and to walk into church and pretend that everything's all right. But you and I both know tonight we're among friends. We are all broken people. We're living in a broken world. We're living in a sin-cursed world. There's none of us tonight that has it all together. But aren't you glad tonight that somebody introduced us to one who has it all together? And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that He can take somebody as broken as I am. And I'm glad, thank God, He can put me back together again. And as the potter puts the clay upon the wheel, I'm glad, thank God, there's times that He'll put me up there and He'll mold me and make me what He wants me to be. My friend, there must be a moment when we stop saying people today, churches nowadays, and say, Lord, what about me? I got to thinking about our Jerusalem. Nehemiah said in verse number 17, Jerusalem lieth waste. And I wonder, could it be that in some areas of our lives that our Jerusalem lieth waste? Not physically, but spiritually. And there may be someone here tonight that you remember when your walk with God was fresh. You remember when your Bible study was consistent. Your prayer life was consistent. Your joy was full. But somewhere along the way, something has been neglected. It didn't happen overnight. It happened little by little. I got thinking about Peter. You remember Peter. And he meant exactly what he said. Lord, no, I won't deny you. I'll go with you to prison. I'll go with you to death. And the Lord said, the cock shall not crow twice, that you'll deny me thrice. And that's exactly what Peter did. He started following afar off, and little by little, that somebody would see him and they would recognize him and they would say, he's one of them. He's one of them. And you know what he did? He denied Christ three times. And you know what he did? He got cold on God, and he started warming by the world's fire. And you know, that's a dangerous place to be. When we start growing cold spiritually, you know what we do? We may have been on fire for God. We used to study the Word of God. We used to be consistent in our prayer time. But before we know it, maybe faithful to the house of God, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But before too long, we take one step back like this, and another step back like this, and then we start justifying things in our life, why we're not doing this and why we can do this. And before too long, we start growing cold spiritually, and we come over here and we start warming by the world's fire. And then somebody starts identifying us. He used to go up there at Valley View. He used to sing in the choir. She used to teach down there. And we are less forward of coming stepping forward and admitting that, we find ourselves following afar off. And listen, if we're honest, there are places in our lives that lieth waste. Nehemiah also said in verse number 17, the gates thereof are burned with fire. Now these gates were the place of entry. They were the place of protection. They represented authority and control. And we found when the gates were burned, it meant that there was no control over what came in and what went out. So I got thinking about, what about the gates of our lives? What have we allowed through the eye gates? What have we allowed, my friend, to filtrate through our eyes? What have we allowed through the gates of our ears? What have we entertained in our minds? What have we permitted in our hearts? Because when these gates are burned, anything can get in. And you think about that. When anything gets in, everything is affected. affected? And could it be that the distress we feel is connected to gates that have been compromised? And my friend, I'm going to tell you something. That phone that you carry in your hand, there's a lot of gates, I'm afraid, even among believers within our independent fundamental missionary Baptist churches. We've allowed a lot of gates to be burned, and we've allowed a lot of things to be come through that eye gate and to filtrate our mind. Maybe your wife does not know about it. Maybe your husband does not know about those things that we are entertaining in our minds. And if we're not careful tonight, it will, that distress, I got thinking about that, not only personal, but it's also corporate. What about our Jerusalem as a church? We thank God for what He's done. I thank God for Valley View Baptist Church. I thank God for the blessings. But we must also ask, are there areas where we are not what we once were? Are there areas where we are not what we ought to be? Because Nehemiah said, there we be no more a reproach. If you look at that distress, that is internal pain. If you look at that reproach, that is external shame. So in other words, the condition of Jerusalem reflected on the name of their God, and the condition of God's people still reflects on His name today. But hear me clearly tonight. Nehemiah did not say this to discourage the people. He said it to awaken the people. And I believe sometimes the most loving thing that we could do is be honest before God. Amen. I'll say it one more time. I love to preach. I love to shout it out. I love to sing about the blood. I love to preach about the blood. I love to preach about grace. I love to preach about mercy. I love to wave my hands toward glory. And that's all good. He inhabits the praise of His people. But my friend, we can wave our hands up toward heaven. We could have the tears fall down our cheek and still not have revival. My friend, there must be an evaluation in our lives in this day where we are at spiritually. Because remember tonight, before the walls were ever built, He got a burden. And He prayed. And God provided the way. And you know what He did? He got out of His comfort zone. He came to that place. He assessed the ruin. Even before He ever spoke with anybody, He assessed the ruin. He assessed the damage. And I wonder tonight, up here in Buchanan, Virginia, we get out of our comfort zone. We get out of our Jerusalem. We get out of that Shushan the palace. We assess the damage in our own lives and not look at everybody else. We're living in a day today, and social media has amplified that. You listen to me tonight. If you are a church or you're an individual, or if you're a preacher tonight that preaches the grace of God, you are not my enemy. Say amen right there. Amen. There is only one way to get into heaven, and I'm going to say it over and over. It's for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. Amen. Jesus is the only way. And my friend, if you are a man of God that's standing up and you're saying that Jesus is the only way by grace through faith, you're not my enemy. But we've got individuals getting on social media shooting at other people, other preachers, because of their preferences and things like that. Listen to me today. We are missing the mark. We are missing the mark. You do not have to do everything at Valley View Baptist Church, what we do in Southwest Virginia, what we do at Beulah Baptist Church. Aren't you thankful tonight that God's bigger than Beulah Baptist Church and God's bigger than Valley View Baptist Church? Can you imagine if everybody did everything like Dwayne Dillard and sounded like Dwayne Dillard? God help us, amen. No, I'm thankful God is bigger than that.
And my friend, another preacher that's preaching the gospel of grace, even though we may not dot every I or cross every T, I'm not joining their church. They're not my enemy. And we need to quit pointing fingers and saying, if you did this or if you didn't do that. We ought to get in the Word of God and say, God, help me. God, we have sinned. God, show me in your Word. Show me the reality of the ruin. That condition of God's people reflects on His name today, because many times I've heard people say over the years, well, you know, this will only affect me. That's a lie from hell. That means you've drifted far enough. That you've grown spiritually cold on God. And those things that's got through your eye gate, and those things that's got through your ear gate, you've started entertaining in your mind that you're pondering on and that you're thinking about. And you say, well, it'll only affect me. Oh, no. Oh, no. Because you know why? When people look at you, and you claim to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, it not only reflects you, but it also reflects God Himself. Amen. And Nehemiah knew that. Nehemiah knew that. Not only the reality of the room, but secondly, the rallying of the remnant. Notice verse 7, come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more of a reproach. And Nehemiah, he does not stop with the ruin. He moves to the response. He says, come. And that is an invitation. And then he says, let us build. That is participation. He does not say, you need to fix this. Somebody ought to do something. He says, let us. It's a shared burden. It's a unified call. It's a leader saying, I'm in and I'm inviting you to join me. And can I say, this is how God works. He calls His people to come together. He calls His people to take responsibility. He calls His people to engage in the work. And notice the purpose, that we be no more reproach. It's not about pride tonight. It's not about appearance. It's about God's glory. It's about God's glory. Nehemiah is saying we cannot remain in this condition and expect the name of our God to be honored. I know it's not shouting ground tonight. We'll get to the shouting ground. But if you'll hang in here with me, I'm going to tell you, our churches need to hear the truth of God's Word. Amen. We're living in the Laodicean church age, that lukewarm, it makes God sick. We need to realize those things in our own lives, it's broken down, it's burned, at ruin. And when we evaluate that, we don't want to be a reproach to God. We don't want to continue, Brother Boone, to have that outward shame on our God. Many people heard this, something stirred, because when truth is spoken in love and when God is at work, hearts begin to move. And I believe God still says today, come, let us build. You don't have to stay where you're at. You don't have to remain in ruin. You don't have to live with burned gates and broken walls. This is a call from God to rebuild what has been rebroken. Same is true for us today. We cannot live in spiritual disrepair and expect God's name to be honored through our lives. A Christian who lies and cheats and gossips or lives immorally, yet still the world doesn't just question the person, they question God. You listen to me tonight. When God's people refuse to stand, speak, and shine, the world remains in darkness, and God's name's not lifted up. The Bible said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men When the church, you listen, when the church is quiet about truth, when believers hide their faith, when we blend in instead of stand out, the result, the world sees no difference and God receives no glory. Disunity and bitterness and strife among believers bring reproach. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Church conflicts handled carnally, unforgiveness and grudges, pride instead of humility. And when we fight each other and forget who the real enemy is, the world stops seeing Jesus. I know it sounds good sometime. We live in the South. A lot of people like to get out there and put a lot of things out there for a lot of sinners' eyes to see on these platforms. But you remember who you're representing tonight. And there's a lost and dying. You say, preacher, it's the truth. There's a lot of things that can be spoken in truth but can also be spoken carnally. May I ask you tonight? I'm here this week just for 4 days. We're going to be honest right here. We're going to be honest. Stand up for a second, Brother Daniel. Turn around here. Brother Daniel's an under-shepherd. He's got many responsibilities, but his main responsibility is to feed the flock of God.
Amen.
To lead the flock of God, to protect the flock of God, but to feed the flock of God. You want to know where our churches are today? We've got it backwards. And I'm an under-shepherd. But if his responsibility is to feed the flock of God, the under-shepherd should not be the one trying to beg the sheep to come and eat.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Amen. Amen.
You know what? If our appetites tonight, I believe we are so filled. I'm just being honest. We're so filled with things of this world. This is a vessel, right? We're so filled with things of this world. It's kind of like when I was growing up, when mama put food on the plate. You ate what was there or you didn't eat. It's like after I got married. If my wife's going to cook, I better not go down there at Krispy Kreme and eat a whole dozen of donuts and come in and her have a spread there, and I say, oh, I'm not hungry because I've been feeding on the junk of this world. I'm being honest with you tonight in this church and every church. Brother Paul, until we put God back where he needs to be, and we empty these vessels of things of this world, get rid of the junk of this world to where our appetite. And you know what the flock, any flock should do? We should be so prayed up. We should have such an appetite that when we come in, we are so hungry. Whether it's a Sunday school teacher or whether it's the man of God, and say, bring the book, man of God. I am hungry. I want something from the Word of God.
Amen.
And when it's delivered, out of love. That it's received in truth, received with humility, and received to allow the Holy Spirit of God to evaluate our life and be honest with God and with ourselves. I wonder tonight, is there bitterness in your heart? Is there unforgiveness in your heart? Bible said, let us rise up and build. It's sad today. I've known churches that won't even work with each other because something happened over the years. And it's been so long, they don't even remember, I think, a lot of them. They believe the same thing. They preach the same thing. But they won't work together. I wonder if there's something in your heart today. A person comes to your mind, a name, a situation. Is there something that rises up on the inside of you? You say, preacher, don't go there. I'm going to go there tonight. Because it may just be robbing you. It may be robbing this meeting from the power of God that we desperately need. We are in desperate days. Until the church, a good leader will warn you of those things, as I know your leader does. To make you aware that it's more than just coming to church, checking a box. It's more than that. It's getting in the Word of God, not just Sunday school, not just Sunday morning, not just Sunday night, not just Wednesday night. If that's all the Bible you're getting, it's not enough. It's a daily, it's getting in that Word every single day, and let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God speak to us. Let it be that mirror and reveal to us anything that is not pleasing to God. Remember, I know how this stuff works. You've been hurt somewhere down through life. Somebody hurt you that was real close to you. You never dreamed that they'd do that to you. And you say, preacher, if you just knew what they did, I just can't get over it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can get hope. Let's bring this thing to a landing. Ephesians 4:32, for be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm just a country boy that deserved hell. I'm not up here putting on no front tonight. I'm trying to help you. And I realize if I got what I deserved tonight, I would still be on this day in a devil's hell. But I'm glad that somebody got up and they shared the Word of God with me. And God the Holy Ghost, even when I didn't deserve it, because of Jesus and what He did on the cross of Calvary, He came and He loved on me. He convicted me and He showed me that even though I didn't deserve it, that if I'd agree with Him and turn to Him and accept Him, that He would save me by His marvelous grace. And not only would He save me by His marvelous grace, He would keep me. But you know what? Somewhere down the line, not only are we sanctified, He's making us look. There are times, there are things in life that we go through that we're just human. I just feel like tonight there is something in somebody's life that you're holding a grudge. Bitterness, something that's in there that is robbing. You say, but preacher, you think about what God did for you. You're the one that's going to keep living in that prison. I've learned over the years, it's not worth it. You know what I've done? I've picked up the phone, even if I just had the wrong heart. And I made a call to preachers. I went back to people in my childhood. You say, really? I sure have. You know why? Because I want to be clean. I want God to use my life. And I'd say, you may not even remember this, but I had the wrong heart. And you know what every one of them has said, Brother Daniel? I said, I don't remember it. That just tells me a little bit about you.
Right.
You know what they did? They hugged me.
Amen.
They received it. Because all this tonight, it reflects not only you, but it reflects God Himself. And Nehemiah knew that. When believers neglect the word and obedience, their spiritual life collapses. The Bible said in Revelation 2, 4, and 5, thou hast left thy first love. No prayer life, no hunger for Scripture, no sensitivity to conviction. The result is a powerless life that cannot reflect a powerful God. Notice there, number 3, and I'm done. The response of the resolved. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. This is the moment everything changes. Nehemiah speaks. The people respond. Let us rise up and build. They didn't debate. They didn't delay. They didn't make excuses. They responded. And notice they said, let us rise up. That means they've been laying down. But now they're getting up. Let us build. That means they have been passive. But now they are becoming active. And the Bible said, so they strengthened their hands. That means they made up their minds. They got serious. They committed themselves to the work. And I love what they did. They committed themselves there to what the Bible says, a good work. Starts with a burden. God's got to break your heart. Let's get serious. Prayer. Let it bother us. Let us see it how God sees it. Let Him make a way. Assess it in our lives. Be honest. It's easy for me to point tonight. That's not going to help us. The only thing that's going to help us is getting in that word and letting it reveal it exactly how God put it down. I can't bring revival. No preacher can. But I do know this. We can have as much of God as we want Him. And God still wants to breathe on His people. He wants to send Holy Ghost revival. I believe that. But I'll tell you what it'll be. I had a dear brother in our church, and man, I love him. You talking about a prayer warrior. He's there praying when nobody else is praying. He's praying. God's anointing's on him. Here's what he prayed. He's laying down there and he's been in the hospital. And he texted me today and he said, I'm praying for an old time, sin killing, Holy Ghost revival. Amen. That's somebody that knows what he's talking about. But God is a perfect gentleman. He won't force himself. He won't make us do anything. I said, preacher, I'm not used to coming. I'm not used to coming up and kneeling around the altar. it's a good night to start. You may not be able to change positions. Get on one of these front seats. Get up in the choir. Let us rise up and build. How much of Him do you want? Will this just be another meeting this week? All I know is this. You say, well, He was writing to Israel. Yes, He was, but it applies. If my people... Do you belong to Him tonight? That's the first thing we must settle. Have you accepted Christ and Christ alone? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. You know what that indicates? It's honesty. I think that's where we must start out in this meeting. These are not the messages I wanted to preach this week. But I feel they are the messages that are necessary. Amen. For evaluation. Out of love for any of us. You sing that song, somebody go get God. Somebody go get God. I don't know about you tonight, but I refuse to swallow that pill. And I know these are the last days. I know it's going to wax worse and worse. I know we're living in the Laodicean church. But listen to me. He said to occupy thyself till it comes. I will not swallow that pill that God cannot work in this day, because I have children and I have a grandbaby now and I have a daughter-in-law that I want to see the power of God. And we want it, we'll have it. If we don't want it, we won't have it. And you listen to me. Valley View Baptist Church, Beulah Baptist Church. I saw a fellow that I know, a preacher I know, put out there. Independent Fundamental Missionary Baptist. He posted today. He said, and they posted that they're closing the doors to another church. He said, this is happening all over our country. There is a missionary that I know right now, and he shares posts of independent, fundamental, missionary Baptist churches that are without pastors all over this nation. That's just our denomination. We must get an appetite in our churches again, brother. None of us are exempt from this. I don't want that to happen on my watch, do you?
No, sir.
And we got to get our eyes back there and realize, hey, you know what? If there's distress started in me, oh Lord, started in me to correct this. Because here's what I know. There's only one true gospel. And I'm going to do everything that I can to pray and to encourage and to seek God's face. Because here's what I do know. You know who's going to be in the heaven? It's not just the independent fundamental missionary Baptist. I'm not going to heaven because I'm an independent fundamental missionary Baptist. You know why I'm going to heaven? Because I've accepted the only way the only way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We need Jesus tonight. We need revival tonight. We need the power of God tonight. We need the hunger tonight. We need that honesty tonight, that humility tonight, that motivation. It's not my brother or my sister. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. God started in me. Started on this second night of revival. Started in me. Revealing my life. What needs to be taken care of? Amen. Be honest before God. Because God is still looking for individuals that'll say, let us rise up and build. Let us rise up and build. Let's bow our heads tonight. Amen. Thank you for your attention. Brother Daniel, is it okay to ask his dear lady to come and play something softly? Let us rise up and build. Second night of revival. Valley View Baptist Church. No pressure. No performance. Just honesty tonight. As the Holy Spirit of God deals with your heart tonight, is there areas of your life, has there walls been broken down? Is there gates that's been burned? Is there things that have infiltrated through those gates that we're not where we need to be? What about tonight, the distress, that inward pain, but that reproach is the outward shame? You may be here tonight and you say, preacher, I have been saved, but I've been falling afar off. Jesus loves you tonight. Let me say, it's better in the Father's house. Would you come and just be honest with God? Maybe your appetite tonight is not what it used to be for the things of God. I appreciate these coming, but let me ask you, as Brother Daniel's coming, do you want to see more? Do you want revival? Are you willing to be honest with God? Humble yourself before a holy God and say, God, it's me. It's me, Brother Daniel.
Hymn 308, I Surrender All. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give.